Welcome to the No Filter Photography Podcast. I am your host, Ronnie Cook. Today, I have another amazing photographer. He used to do wedding and videography. Now, he does toy photography in his spare time. And let me tell you, if you check out his work, it is absolutely amazing. Please help me welcome Mr. Jake. You know, you can always learn so much from other photographers. And it's always cool to be able to talk to different kinds of photographers as well. Like always, today I'm going to leave you with another quote. But this one is actually going to come from our guest today, Mr. Jake. You don't need the best gear, the best camera out there to be the best. And I agree with him. You don't need to go out and pay thousands of dollars on gear and a camera to be the best. If you keep practicing and keep doing what you're doing, you will become one of the best photographers out there. And it's not going to happen overnight. Everyone has to start somewhere. Thank you for listening to the No Filter Photography Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you won't miss out on any new interviews coming up. Thank you. Podcast. I'm here with Jacob. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome. So, can you tell the audience a little more about yourself?
Yeah, of course. You know, obviously, my name is Jake. I've been doing photography for about six, seven years. I went to school for photography and filmmaking, so it all kind of just collided together. I mainly do toy photography, although I've had plenty of experience in wedding photography and as well as I used to do like artist portraits and music videos as well.
Awesome. So how did you get into, or we'll start from the beginning, how did you get into doing photography?
Yeah, so it kind of started like my first-ish like semester of college. We had a big group of friends. Luckily, I was able to find in college because I was originally from Pennsylvania and I went to college in Arizona. So it was a huge, big step for me. I was pretty excited to get out of my town and everything. But I noticed that I was always like filming everything we did. Like I was either filming or taking photos of like any stupid thing or like just videos of us having a good time and stuff. And, cause I originally went to school for 3D art and animation, which I still completed along with, filmmaking and photography. But I went on set one day and, with my friend Killian needed a productions assistant. So I went on set one day and I had my camera and I was just messing around, taking photos and having a good time. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. I might take some classes, cause you could, at my college I went to, you can kind of just take whatever classes you want. Like if you had like a free slot or something like that, you could go take a class in it. So that's what I did. And I, just fell in love and I couldn't put the camera down at that point pretty much.
So you, what was I going to ask? Did you learn more from and doing the classes in college, or do you still Google or YouTube anything that you need to know about your camera or anything?
Yeah, that's the thing. Anytime I needed to learn how to do something like quick or like super fast, it was always YouTube. There is so many resources through YouTube that you can use. Like anytime I was trying to edit or do something super specific, I was able to find how to kind of do it on YouTube. And then I would just kind of, tweak it and kind of make it my own. But yeah, YouTube is a phenomenal tool. There's just so much on there that if you need a tutorial on how to do something or anything like that, like to get started, like it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's even videos of like the camera that I use that's from like 5-10 years ago, and it's old, you know, 5-10 years, but it's still helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah. What kind of camera did you start out with, and what kind of camera do you have now?
So in college, I mainly used my iPhone, but then we had such a crazy inventory of cameras that we were able to use at the college. So we would just go to we had like a little store where we would go to and just check out cameras for the day. And we'd have to just write our names down and be like, well, I'm using it to this day. And we had they had a Canon 5D. They had a Sony A7S. They had all these, my favorite camera personally, it wasn't necessarily a camera, like a photo camera. It was more of a video camera, but it was called the Blackmagic Ursa Cinema camera. And it was such a beautiful, it was a big camera, but it was awesome. So I had a chance to use a lot of those. And then I was like, oh, well, I kind of want to use my own. Like, I don't really want to have to keep checking them out. And then you also, obviously in college, people sometimes people can be lazy. So people don't check out the cameras properly, or they just forget to turn them in. And then it's like, well, I needed it this day to do a specific shoot or something. So I went on Amazon and I saw that I also did a little bit of research and looking into like, what's a good starting camera, like all this. And I think I came across a Canon T5 Rebel. It was like a bundle set for like $500. It came with the camera, two lenses, SD cards, a tripod, like just the works. It came with everything. And I was like, I feel like it's not a bad deal. So I went with that.
And you haven't looked back since.
Yeah, I still have the camera. I keep telling myself I'm kind of due for an upgrade at this point. So, yeah.
So you said that you started out doing wedding and videography, right?
Yeah, mainly, yeah.
So can you go through, how was your, like, how many weddings did you actually do? A lot?
I'm going to say around 4 or 5. So it was mixed with weddings and then mixed with, like, we started doing a lot of music videos because there's just so many local artists in the Arizona music scene and stuff. So it was like I was really excited to do weddings, and then eventually it got kind of stressful. And so I liked going to music videos and working with like artists in Arizona, because everyone was like, oh yeah, that shot looks good. Like, oh, just do whatever, man, do whatever you want. Like, whatever, you know, you feel good. Like, I'm, you know, paying you to do what you want to do. And so, yeah. And I was like, cool. I like the complete freedom of being able to do whatever.
You got the free range from the artist.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And that was like my favorite thing, because we worked, we worked with so many people in Arizona, and which I'm definitely thankful for. But it was also at times it was actually pretty stressful to do some of that stuff.
Were you more stressed about the time limit that they gave you, or the, okay, if I do it this way, you know, by the time you got done with the video, were you stressful from you hope they like it?
Yeah, it got to like so the first wedding I ended up doing was for a friend, and which that was probably the most stress-free wedding, because it was like kind of super small wedding. They were just throwing it together. They just really wanted to just get married. And so they let me kind of have the most creative freedom shooting weddings. And so I had a lot of fun doing it, and like, you know, I would just show them the photos. And they're like, oh, I love that. I can't wait to like see it edited and everything. This was like before I started kind of like doing a contract or meeting up with the bride and the groom and kind of going over like, this is what is expected. This is, you know, this is what's going to happen. This is how we're going to, like, what kind of lighting you guys are going to have, and what's the venue look like going into preparation and stuff like that.
So, all right, your first wedding was your friend's wedding. Yes. So what, take me through the when you did not a friend's wedding, but like one of your first you know, kind of, I guess you can say professional wedding, where, you know, you met up with the bride and groom, you got them to sign the contract. This is what I expected. Tell me how that first wedding went.
So the initial planning went like great. Like, we understood each other. We were like, I was excited. I knew going into it that, like, cause I was researching like other like wedding photographers and stuff, and I know they had like packages. So I was curious to see how that kind of worked. So I was kind of offering them like, hey, like, so this is what is expected. This is the length of the video. Cause we did video and photography. Usually my wife, or my girlfriend at the time, wife now, we would kind of work together. And so sometimes she would do some shots and then I would mainly do the video. And then we would kind of edit together and stuff like that. So the initial planning went off perfectly. Like, I was super excited to shoot it. The venue that they described and showed us looked super cool. The lighting looked really good, because that was my main concern, is because I was, especially because I was shooting with the Ursa camera that I was telling you a little bit about a little bit ago. It doesn't do the best in low level lighting. So my main concern was like, hey, is this going to be like, is the lighting going to be, it's going to be bright? You know, we're going to have windows open and stuff. And they were like, yeah, like, you know, they told me all the stuff that I was like, okay, so I'm definitely good to go on the Ursa. And then I think we actually took the Canon 5D. That was the camera we took for the photos, and then I took the Ursa for the Blackmagic Ursa for the videos. This initial planning up to the wedding went perfect. So that went off pretty good.
So you didn't have no bridezilla or anything to have to deal with?
No, they were super. So what I've noticed in a lot of like the first initial meetups are always, at least for me, they were always super smooth. It was during that like editing process of like, all right, here's the 5-minute video. And then you send it to them and they're like, well, I want it to be this long. And it's like, we talked about this being 5 minutes. So
you're getting 5 minutes, not 502, 5 minutes.
So that's usually from what I experience is usually how it goes. It's always in that post-production, and that's also can be the most like frustrating part, because you like put some, because like also like not to mention I was doing this, most of this, while I was in college, so I still had classes and I worked as a student ambassador at my school, so I was working a job as well. You know, I was kind of doing this stuff a lot of on my free time, and while I still had like, because our school was very project based, so they would basically give us like about a week or a week and a half to do like this crazy project, because basically what you were doing is making a portfolio piece for each class and each assignment. So you were expected to put a lot of work into it, so I was doing that and also a job and then also filming and everything, so it got pretty stressful.
It sounds like it was stressful. So did you have somebody do the video part, or did you do the video part and take the pictures?
I mainly did the video part, and then I would swap off with my wife to do photos sometimes. There was a different wedding that we both did video and both did photos, because we both had the camera setups we were able to use video and photos for. For this wedding specifically, it was mainly she did a lot of the photos, and then I did the video, and then I did a little bit of the photos.
So, and you also said about the music videos for artists around in Arizona. Did you do that before you went to toy photography?
Yeah. My toy photography didn't start, till like way later, after all the music video and like all the wedding and stuff like that, pretty much.
So what made you want to, you know, I can understand about the wedding part, you know, it's stressful, but what made you want to, you know, put the music videos to the side and start doing toy photography?
I think mainly with that is we worked with a couple artists in Arizona, and there was one artist we worked with that was a pretty good friend. And I think just like scheduling conflicts got in the way because a lot of these artists also they're local artists, so they have like full-time jobs and other things they have to do. And you know, we would all have to basically our schedules would have to line up perfectly in order for us to go shoot something. So it was pretty tough. And I noticed a lot of like scheduling conflicts, but with doing the toy stuff, like there was never any scheduling conflicts. It was more of like, I got free time. I like this. I'll grab this figure, and we'll go out and I can just shoot it on my own time, edit it on my own time. Like there's no time constraint, like, oh, this needs to get done by this day. Like it can get done pretty much whenever because I'm not under a contract or anything like that. So I don't really need to worry about, you know, being done on time or a specific time.
And I think probably the best thing is the
Yeah. That's, you
talk
know, honestly, that's the they don't talk back, but you know what they do sometimes that's very aggravating is they fall over. Sometimes it is a pain in the ass to get them to stand up. Like sometimes I spend half the shoot just fighting with them standing up sometimes. So, but yeah.
Some days are stubborn, sometimes they're not.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much.
Man, I went to I just recently just trying to I'm not I'm more of a freelance photographer, but I just recently I do landscape and some
Okay.
portraits and stuff, but I have some figurines I've gotten, and I have Jason, and I took him down. I live in Bryan, Texas,
Okay.
and I took him down to the Brazos River and try to get that him walking, like in the movies he's walking out the lake and stuff like
Oh,
that.
yeah.
And I try to get him in the and it wasn't the river part, but it was like, oh, I mean, it was a river, but it was kind of like a puddle out beside the river, and I try to put him
Okay.
in there, and I was like, oh man, I got a coat hanger just in case I needed it, but I was like,
Yeah.
man, I think it'll be just easier if I just stuff him down in the mud. And like you said, he just kept on falling and falling. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I wasn't to the point where he was making me mad, where I was just wanted to chunk him, but
Yeah.
it almost got to
Yeah.
that
It's some of them like. And it's funny too, like I'll know like if I go on like a Target or like a store or something and I see it, like I'm like, oh, I got a shoot in mind for this guy. But I'm looking at like the structure and how he's like in the box. I'm like, yeah, this one's gonna be a pain in the ass to get to stand up. Like I know it's gonna be difficult to get him to stand up.
What has been your favorite toy shoot so far?
Honestly, probably I did a shoot of Eva and Wall-E from the Pixar Wall-E movie, and I think honestly that one probably was my favorite because I get in this like zone when I'm taking photos and I'm like reviewing, like I'll go and I'll be like, okay, how did this turn out? And look, and there's somewhere like I just look at it and I'm like, man, this is perfect. Like this is awesome. Like I'm so excited of how well this came out. Especially with a lot of toy photography, like a lot of the stuff that like at least I do. I there's a lot of people that are like professional, like that I see on Instagram, obviously, that I'm like, man, how do they get this or do that? And there's like moments where I guess it's you see you can physically see your skill level going up instead of like plateauing or going down. And I think when I see photos like that, like I'm like, oh man, like I can see my like I'm getting better, you know, because sometimes you get frustrated and you beat yourself up and you're like, man, all my stuff looks the same or this looks kind of boring now that I'm looking at it now and I've had some time to like sit there and think about it. And so I think that's probably that was like I knew that one was going to be awesome and I had such a great idea for the Wall-E photo like in the editing process. And I was like, I'm like, this is going to work. I don't care. I'm going to get it to work. Like it's going to work.
Yeah. Do you mostly do Disney or
Honestly, I do pretty much anything. Like, I do a lot of I do I used I started out doing a lot of pops because my wife and I we we've started collecting them in Arizona, and it just got freakishly big, a big collection. But yeah, I used to mainly do pops, and now I pretty much do everything. Whatever I can get my hands on, whatever I think looks cool, stuff like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you think that has improved in your photography, and what do you think still needs to be improved?
I think I can improve a lot on my angles, and I think my setting up for some of the shots. Especially like with angles and stuff, they definitely tell. I want to get better at telling different perspectives. I think that's probably the most that I can work on. That and editing. I'm really trying to get better with like editing super small details, like whether it be like lights or like fire. Or the lightsaber editing stuff, I think I got down pretty well. It took me a little bit to kind of figure it out. But yeah, I would say editing and the angles, because sometimes I look at some of my stuff and I'm like, okay, this, I mean, and I know it's a lot of it's that I use. I only use like two lenses. I need to get more lenses, basically. But I usually use the same lens for about most of the stuff I do, which I can definitely tell looking at some of my shots. I'm like, you could definitely tell. But yeah. And then I think the thing that I definitely most or improved upon is actually finding my tone and mood for my shots. I have a very dark, dramatic mood for a lot of my stuff, and I think I finally found that color palette that I like to use for all my shots, basically, whenever I'm done editing them.
So what do you use to edit your pictures?
So I initially use Lightroom to kind of just get a good basis, a good idea of what I want to do for the colors, the contrast, the pretty much everything. And then I move those into Photoshop. And then Photoshop, like I don't usually mess with the contrast or highlights or shadows or anything, because I did all that in Lightroom. That kind of gets that out of the way. Photoshop I mainly use just for doing effects. So if a character or something is holding like a lightsaber, or like if it's a Dragon Ball Z character and they got like an energy blast, it's mainly focusing on just causing the effects of that, of and the lighting too, and painting the lighting to surfaces where it would be hitting and stuff like that, for the character and the figure itself, basically. And then after Photoshop, I use a phone app called RNI Films. I love that app so much, because there's that app, and then there's also another one. I think it's called Arrow RNI, which mainly is really good if you're shooting anything that's red, because it really blows up the red without blowing it out. But sometimes I use PixArt, depending on because PixArt has a really cool lens effect that you can do, which sometimes I like to use for like doing like laser blasts or like the lightsaber. Sometimes it's pretty, pretty helpful for as well.
Have you ever used the app called Lens District?
No, I don't think I have.
I'll tell you. So I know you said your photos or your toy photography is kind of, the dark. It's called Lens. I'm gonna butcher the last part of it. I'll message you what it is in the Instagram. You can actually, I've used that on a couple of my photos where, mm-hmm. like fog and stuff. You can add the fog in there. You can like, if you're looking, like if you take a picture, from a church or something inside a building, and say your wife is standing there in the middle, and there's a small window on the very top, you can have like the rays of the light come down through it and stuff like that. I'm thinking you might want to check that out.
That sounds super awesome. Any editing software is cool too. Like, I always like to see what stuff has to offer.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I said, I've used it, and they have filters on there too. I've used those as well, but it's a pretty cool app. I have it for my iPad and my Android phone.
Okay. Yeah, definitely have to give that a shot. Yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
So, I know you start. You use cameras when you're in college. For somebody that's starting out to do photography, would you tell them, you know, hey, if it was a friend, or if it was, you know, another student, or, you know, just somebody off the street, would you tell them to go buy a new camera and gear, or to get used gear and camera?
Honestly, I think the one lens I actually use a lot is primarily used. I recommend, honestly, so if you're just starting and you have a phone, honestly, the phone cameras are incredible. It's insane to me. Like, even when I'm out sometimes shooting, like, I'll even use my phone sometimes. Like, if I'm like, yeah, this looks pretty cool, like, I'll just get it with my phone. But I would recommend first finding out what you like best. So I know there's a whole, like, so for Sony's out of the question, because their cameras are so expensive. They're insane. Like, I want one for sure, because I had a chance to mess around with I think it was a Sony A7S II, I think. I can't remember exactly, but it was one of the Sony A7S's, and those cameras are insane. They're incredible, but they're just like, I was looking, I think the body for one of those cameras is like $2,000 to $3,000. So, like, that's, yeah, they're insane. But I would definitely recommend finding what you want to do. So, like, I know there's a whole, like, Nikon Canon thing. Both are good. I think Nikon is, for me, when I was using it, I tried out a Nikon in college a little bit, and the UI of the camera was, for me, it was tough to get together. I think Canon is a perfect, like, pick up and go. The UI is so easy to understand. Even for someone that, like, has no experience in photography or little experience in it, it's so easy to kind of, like, understand and get a hold of. But honestly, I know in Arizona there was a local camera shop that sold a bunch of, like, used and new camera stuff. We would go in there all the time, and, like, some of the lenses they had for the prices were, I mean, it was kind of hard to beat, like, especially just starting out too. Like, the whole, which is why it's taken me so long. You don't really need this super incredible camera. A lot of photography is so based on, like, angles and lighting that, like, regardless of what camera you're using, like, if you can nail the lighting and the angle, like, that's basically, like, 90% of the battle. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and people have proved it time and time, like, with taking photos with their phones. I mean, like, some of the phone photography, like, I've been, my wife's dad or her father, he shoots so much stuff on his phone, and it's incredible. I'm like, he does a lot of, like, landscape, and just, like, he'll take photos of, like, old buildings and stuff, and I'm like it's insane. It's crazy. And he just has his phone. He doesn't use, like, a bit crazy, like, he wants to get a camera at some point, but, like, you know, he's like I could get a camera, but, like, honestly, I already have my phone, and my phone is, like, perfect for what I do. It fits in the pocket. There's no, I mean, you can get lenses for your phones. I know they sell them at Target for not too bad. I think they're like 20, maybe 25 bucks, but yeah.
Amazon? Like,
so, yeah, Amazon. Amazon's probably the go-to. It's so easy to shop on Amazon. But yeah, I definitely would recommend, like, a lot of old gear, because there's so many, like, older lenses that are just so weird and sometimes give off, like, I don't know. They just help you find, like, the perfect angle that you would kind of want to get.
So, I remember you saying you used your phone too, and your father-in-law does. What kind of phone do you use?
So, I was originally using my I have an iPhone 7, but my wife finally was able to give me the 12. She gave me the 12 for my birthday. So I've been using that, but even like using the iPhone 7, like the camera quality is not that bad. Like it's pretty incredible what phones can do nowadays, and especially with them, you know, obviously they're going to keep making, you know, we're going to go all the way to probably the iPhone 40 or something. I don't know.
Right.
But it's incredible. And like I said, there's also so many, like you can get Lightroom and Photoshop on your phone. Like, so there's so many, they make it so easy to just go. And I mean, it's cool. Anyone can be a photographer nowadays if you really wanted to, which is cool. Instead of being just grounded to like, yeah, I would do photography, but I don't have a camera. And like, you know, so it's kind of nice to bring it to everyone.
It's, and like what your father-in-law said, I mean, he wants a camera, but why spend that, you know, $500 to a couple thousand on it when you have a camera right in your pocket?
Exactly. And you can, yeah.
And you can go on vacation. You don't have to bring a lug, you know, bring a backpack to bring all your lenses. Yep. You have in your wallet. I mean, in your wallet, in your pocket. Oh, that, you know, I think that would be a good angle. You know, just take the phone out of your pocket, click, or, you know, get the right angle, click. You're done. Yep. It looks good. Go, like you said, you can go on your phone, you can edit your picture, you know, you get those apps, Lightroom, the app I was talking about, and boom, you know, you can post on Instagram and within what, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
So, but I do agree with you where my wife has I think an iPhone XR, and I was messing with it the other day, and she goes, what are you doing? I was like, I want to see, you know, I want to see the camera on it. And I took a picture of it and I was like, it's not bad, but yeah. Like you said, the technology on has come so far on it.
Oh yeah.
My brother, I think he's got the new one, the iPhone 14, and he was showing me some stuff on it. And I was like, dang dude, you know, that's the picture is clear on it. And yeah. I was like, that's awesome. I have the, Galaxy Ultra 22, okay. And there's nothing against the iPhones, but yeah. I think Android's camera is a little better than the iPhone.
Okay, yeah, I think, what is it, my friend has he got a Pixel, one of the Google phones, and I was like my first question was like, oh, let me see that, let me look at the camera stuff on it, and the camera stuff on that one is pretty incredible as well. It's definitely cool seeing how far, like, the phone camera has come.
I almost got that phone, the Google, what is it? The Pixel, I can't remember what it's called. But it's so funny now, the way I look at phones before, I just wanted to upgrade. I just wanted to have the newest phone. Now, when I upgrade or able to upgrade, I'd look at, okay, what camera's better? Okay, so this, the, you know, the Android camera right here is, okay, you can do this with it. What can the iPhone do? Oh, you can do that. What can the Pixel do? Oh, you can do that. Oh, that's pretty cool. But you got to find out which one fits you and really your budget.
Yeah.
So I know you, the toy photography, you do a lot of, a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So take me through the day of, you know, you're going to go out and shoot. Do you shoot around your house or do you go to, you know, out in the woods? Can you take me through the day of, you know, what you pack and, you know, and go through like a photo shoot for one of your toys?
So I primarily shoot on my days off, just because that's when I have the most time of day. So what I'll do is I'll just kind of look around. Sometimes it's random. I'll just go, oh yeah, I haven't done anything with this in a while. Like, I'll just take this. Sometimes there's planning and which figures like I kind of want to take. Like, I know a while back I did a whole Boba Fett versus a Predator because I had a sweet looking chrome Black Series Boba Fett, and I had this Alpha Predator, and I was like, oh, why not, like, you know, have them like make it look like they fought each other or something. So definitely sometimes they're very planned, or sometimes I'm like, you know, I want to, or I'll see other photographers and I'll go, oh, they did this really cool looking like Pokemon shoot. It's like, I have a couple Pokemon pops or something. I'll you know, so whatever I end up taking, it's usually around, like, I'll just try to get enough to do at least at least three shoots, three different like separate shoots. And so I'll collect, you know, the toys, and then I will get my camera gear ready. So obviously I make sure my camera's fully charged. I usually carry one SD card. It's like a 64 gig. So it's usually gets me through, or it's not 64, sorry, it's 32. And I usually bring I take our spray bottle we have for our cat, because it works for if I want to create like a mist or like a rain effect. So I'll take that. And then I always try to be pretty stocked up on, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's called atmosphere aerosol spray.
What do you use on your, like, to clean your computer, keyboard?
No. So that's like the air duster, which funny enough, you can actually use that. That's, I haven't used it, because I usually am a maniac, and I will, because usually people like will stick that in the dirt and use it to create like a dirt explosion. So for me, I'll just take a handful of dirt and just chuck it at the toy. Definitely probably not the best idea because your hands get all dirty and stuff, but honestly, either one works basically, whichever, you know, suits you.
Yes. I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, you're good.
I seen somebody take like I don't know what it's called, but it's like you put the two handles and you push them together and it, you know, blows out air. But yeah. I've actually seen somebody use a plastic tube, get a pile of dirt, run that tube from that, whatever it's called, and to the dirt, and then just do it like that. And then just, yeah, you know, put it together and the dirt comes up.
Yeah, there's so many I've seen that. And then the atmosphere aerosol spray is like, it's specifically for photography. And if you're getting into toy photography, I highly recommend it. You can get it on Amazon. It's not too bad, price wise, but it'll help create this, like, it helps create, like, if you're trying to do like this really cool, it adds depth to your photo basically, but it also adds, if you're trying to get these really cool sun rays coming down, like, I don't know if you've ever seen in like a movie or, you know, where there's like Legend of Zelda is a good example, but like they have like a sword, they have the Master Sword in the stone, and there's just this like beam of light coming down on it that makes it look so, gives it such a unique atmosphere and like depth to the photo. Mm-hmm. That's what the atmosphere aerosol does. And they're as a company, they're cool too. They always are promoting toy photographers on their Instagram. All like they promoted me a couple times. Like they're awesome. They always share everyone's works. But some of the, especially, I use atmosphere aerosol a lot, depending on, you know, specifically if I'm trying to do that effect, or, you know, sometimes I don't even need to use it at all. Sometimes whatever I'm going for works perfect. And that's kind of, you know, so I'll get all that stuff. And then what I do also is, actually it's really cool because not too far from our place that we live now, there's this like train tracks, and it's like in the woods and everything. And it's like my go-to spot recently. Like it's, incredible. It's like secluded too. So there's no one to kind of bother me. I've had like, I think they were working on the railroads one time, and like this guy was giving me a hard time, and I was like, I'm just trying to just take photos. Like, I'm not causing any harm or anything. And he was like, you're fine or whatever. I was like, oh, thanks. Cause in Arizona, when we used to shoot and stuff, we would always be worried about getting kicked out. Cause we wouldn't, like, especially for our short films and stuff, we wouldn't really ask for permission to shoot on property. We would just kind of go until they called it guerrilla filming. You would just kind of run and go, get the shot and get out.
I like that.
Those were definitely fun shoots and stuff like that. But so I'll get all my gear, head on down to the tracks, and depending on what I'm doing, sometimes I'll set up little scenes because there's like sticks and rocks with like moss and stuff all over them. So sometimes, depending on what I want to do, I'll set all those up and kind of like create a scene. I know for my most recent, I haven't posted them yet, but I did a Cal Kestis from Star Wars Fallen Order. I did a crazy cool setup for him. I just, I didn't edit them yet. But I mean, they'll be on my account shortly. But yeah, so, or my favorite is, especially getting into the whole October Halloween, is I do a lot of Michael Myers and like horror photography. And what I'll do for those is it's perfect because there's all these leaves everywhere. So it's like, it's a perfect setup for like doing a Michael Myers shoot or, you know, doing like Leatherface or Jason and just all the stuff like that. So I use a lot of the environment most of the time. There's sometimes where I'll do like indoor shoots and like I've built a couple sets. Like I go to like the local like craft store, like Joann's, and I'll get like some of the foam stuff you can make. You can like make your own like little custom houses, or like I know I did a Boba Fett shoot where I made little Tatooine huts, and I just got the foam from Joann's, painted them, make. I even threw some sand on, covered the sand over and painted over the little huts to kind of give it some character and stuff like that.
So do you, before you go out for a shoot, do you pose your figurines?
No, I only pose them whenever I actually get to where, because I don't know what I'm going to necessarily do. And that's like one of the cool things that I like going to shoot outside is I won't know what I'm doing till I see that perfect spot. And I'm like, oh yeah, got an idea. Here we go. We're going to pose them and make them all look cool and everything like that. And then I'll kind of get the shot.
Yeah, that's on the fly.
Yeah.
There's a on Instagram. I found him on TikTok. I think I found you on TikTok too. I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
But, Sir Dork.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some of his, like the Deadpool when he's slicing into a watermelon. Man, that's, I'd love to do that, but I gotta find, it's so hard to find. It's so weird. Now, before I started doing this, you know, I could see, you know, Deadpool on the shelves. I can see Star Wars and everything. But once I started, like, oh, I want to start doing, you know, I want to try this. So I bought Batman, Joker, Iron Man, Thor, Superman. But that's all I can find. The ones I want, I can't find. If I wasn't doing this, I could find them so easy.
Yeah, that's the tough thing too. Is like, I think because of COVID, there was just such a spike in everything, like people buying and collecting, and I mean, Pokemon cards shot up like crazy out of nowhere. And yeah, like even like sometimes you'll go into a Target and like you have to be there when they put them on the shelves because there's a huge scalping market that is just. And I've seen it physically. I've seen people like, what is it? The other day me and a friend were waiting patiently for it was a Black Series Obi-Wan Kenobi from the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, Darth Vader. And I was like, oh, I really want a Black Series Darth Vader. Like I want one so bad. And like, if you're not there first, like you're screwed because I've seen people at the store and they'll buy like six of the same figure and they'll be walking up to the front and I see the same one. I'm like, oh man, that's so uncool. Cause it's like, I get it. If you're getting like two, maybe one for yourself and for a buddy, like I totally, totally get it. But like seven or six of the same one, I'm like, man, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, okay, you know, maybe two or three of them, you know, just for a backup, if you're doing photography for a backup, you know, or, you know, like you said, two of them just for, so you can do, you know, shoot photography and have one as a collector item, but like seven, 10 of them, what, just, yeah. I mean, you got to save some for everybody else.
Yeah. And then what is, I know like the Hasbro stuff and the HasLab stuff that has been the most recent stuff where they got rid of the windows for the a lot of the Marvel figures and stuff like that. And they replaced them with just cardboard. And then they upped the prices. So they're like $30 now for the singular one. And then if you want a double pack, it's like 50. And like, I know, like, just being in the toy community on Instagram, like, it's not good. It's like, because especially for collectors, like for me, I don't care as much because most of the stuff that I get, I take out of the box because I use it for toy photography. And like, for me, I'm not planning on, you know, reselling as much. A lot of our pops we keep in the box. So like, if I were to ever resell it, or like if I, you know, eventually down the line, if I wanted to see how much I could get, you know, I would do like the pops, but like a lot of the Black Series and like the action figures themselves, like I take out of the box. So it's just, and even pops. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, even the pops have shot up in price. I know at Target, they were like $8 and now they're like 13, and it's like, it's crazy.
Do you, when you go to the store and get pops, do you usually, you know, just say, I don't know, a Star Wars one, do you usually buy two where you keep one in the box and then you use the other one for doing your photography?
No, I'm usually like a one and done. Like I'll just get the one. There are times where like I have a buddy that also is, I got him into collecting and stuff. So like, if I see one, I'll put it on hold for him or something. But like, for the most part, I only ever usually get one. There hasn't been a pop of two that I don't think I've ever gotten. Yeah, I usually just get the one because it's, for me, it's like, and it's kind of scary because it's like, sometimes I drag my toys through hell sometimes, like doing a shoot or something. But at the end of the day, like, for me, it's not, I'm never going to resell the action figures. The pops, there's some that I don't take out of the box. Like I have the comic book Star Wars series ones those ones are really cool. But like for me, like I'll never take photos of them. Like there's some pops that like I like Star Wars pops, especially that I have that I'm not going to take photos of. I'm just more of a collector kind of thing. But for those, like I'll only get one, you know.
Where do you mostly get your figurines, like Target, Walmart, or do you buy any online?
Yeah, there's some that like are hard, like the really hard to find ones in stores and stuff. I know we usually do, we go through Amazon. But I mainly get mine through Target, or we have a local comic book and like collector shop that's not too far from us. So we'll go there and see what they kind of have sometimes. Sometimes they're a little bit more expensive just because, you know, it's a third party. So like, I get it. You got to kind of make a little bit of money back. But, if it's something you're really looking for, I feel like you're not, you know, if you're really looking for it, you won't feel that bad spending the extra couple dollars on it. Like, so.
Yeah. There's an app. I'm not an app. There's a store online, Big Boys or something like that, where you can get about.
I know what you're talking about. I've been on there before.
Yeah, but the only thing I have a problem with is spending $100 on a damn action figure.
Yeah, that's.
That's where, I mean, I can buy just about the same thing at Walmart or Target, but I don't know. It's just that $100. If I ever buy one of those, I'll probably never take it out of the damn packaging.
Yeah, and that's like the whole, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but the Hot Toys collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like, you know, $300 to $400, but they're like, if I'm not saying like obviously $300 to $400 is just like the way they look and stuff, but like they put a lot of detail. My friend got one recently and it's incredible. Like they look so cool, and for me it's like, it sucks because if I did get one of those, like I would for sure take photos of it. And I would like, I'd have to be careful, but like, I know I would definitely have to take photos of them. There's no way.
So before I let you go, is there any tips or tricks for anyone that wants to start doing photography, not just toy, but you know, maybe a wedding or doing videography?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest tip is just to keep practicing every single day. I mean, photography is a skill just like drawing or just like any other skill you do in the world, where the more you keep doing it, the better you get at it. One thing I would recommend is, especially if you're in like a local scene, like, you know, go to your local venue and see if they need like, you know, photographers to shoot for like a if a band's coming in town and stuff like that, or reach out to your, I mean, especially there's so many ways to reach out to like bands, artists, products. Like you have Facebook, Instagram, you have all these things where it's, if, you know, if you want to do something with someone, like you can just shoot them a message. So I think the best thing to do would be to just keep practicing at your craft, and remember that you don't always need the best gear to be the best. I feel like that's, you know, a lot of people are set on like, I need to have, you know, these lenses, this camera. And I don't think that's true. I do think that there is like evolution with, you know, you're taking photos and you're getting better and you want to advance to a different camera. I think there's, I mean, that makes sense because you're building that skill. And there's more that you learn and or want to learn or want to do with a newer camera, but yeah, just keep, basically just keep working at it. Just keep doing it every single day, or the days you can do it. If you can't do it every single day, like me, I do it. I try to do it at least once a week, maybe twice a week.
Now, since you started, well, I'll say this about the toy photography. Since you started doing toy photography, your very first one, have you seen into your, you know, your recent one, have you seen improvement and, from the very first picture you done to the one recently?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's, I mean, I actually do that more often than I don't know if I should, but there's a lot of times where like, I'll just scroll at like all my old stuff and go, we got from here to here. And it's honestly like, I think more people should do that. And I think a lot of people do that, but like, it's such a good, like, kind of pat on your back. Like you can go like, man, I if you're ever feeling like you're, like, and that's the one thing that I feel sometimes is like you plateaued, like you finally got to this, like, this is as good as I'm going to get. I think always looking at your previous works helps you get out of that little, that gutter of like, man, my stuff just looks, I don't know if I'm going to get any better than this. So why continue? And just looking at your old stuff and going like, I mean, look how, and then you kind of look at your very old stuff, and then you get to look at all your other like older stuff compared to your recent, you're like, you know what? Nah, I've made such a huge difference in skill level, you know, where I'm at now. So
I do agree on that. And I also want to put, I feel a lot of photographers, you know, oh, you know, like you said, oh, that's as good as I'm going to get, but they also judge themselves against other photographers that, you know, do it every day, especially on Instagram. You know, you see photographers posting every day and, you know, yeah, they get better, but they do practice a little more than you do, but they put themselves where, oh, I'm, you know, they put themselves down where, oh, I'm not going to be as good as him or as good as her or stuff like that. It's practice, just like you know, when you're in elementary, you're writing your, you know, sentences or cursive. They don't teach cursive no more, but anyway.
Yeah.
But you know, you practice, and you got better at it. If you keep on practicing your photography, you will get better at it. It's just not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, and also, so, like, the one thing I've noticed, especially being in the toy community on Instagram, it's so nice and everyone's very encouraging. And I haven't come across anyone that's ever been rude or, you know, mean. And like a lot of these big photographers too, they're awesome. And they'll like, they've messaged me back that there's times where I'm like, man, how did you do that? Like just take, and a lot of them post like BTS and stuff, which I always think is cool to show like BTS of how you like got to this photo or the end kind of goal. But yeah, reaching out to people in the community is good too. And just like, I mean, people want to talk about how they did this or that and just kind of share kind of inspiring creative processes of how they did this specific shoot with this specific figure and this pose and everything like that.
And a lot of, to be honest with you, a lot of photographers don't like doing that. I feel like, I mean, I probably could be wrong, but I say not a lot, but maybe 1 to 5% where, you know, you ask them, hey, you know, how'd you do that shot? They don't post behind the scenes, but hey, how you do that shot? They're like, this is, you know, I'm not telling you. I don't want you to steal my idea. It's not stealing the idea. It's that person wants to learn.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you probably have done it before where you've seen something like Sir Dort does and you're like, oh, you know, that looks pretty cool. I want to try it. But when you try it, you put your twist on it instead of doing it exactly like his.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
And I also want to say, like, being a part of Sir Dork does this amazing thing in the community where he does a lot of these like tag challenges where he'll go like, okay, I think the most recent one that he did was the beverage one where you just have to figure out a way to incorporate. And I love this whole thing. Like the community that he's brought and he's bringing together is so awesome, but it'll just be like an idea, like incorporate a beverage into your toy shot. And I think it's so cool that he gives you like a idea and then you kind of get to create it. Like, I think it's good, especially if you're struggling, like, man, I don't really know what to do. He'll have like a challenge, or he does like sometimes he did a contest not too long ago where people had a chance to submit their best shot or their favorite shot that they did, which was super fun. And it's, but yeah, he's cool. He always gets back to me. He's definitely a very good mentor in the toy photography scene. So he's awesome.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think the last one I seen was the incorporate fire in one of your photos or something like that, where you took a waffle and one of the Star Wars characters.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mandalorian. I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that before. That was pretty cool. He shows behind the scenes of, oh, you know, this is how I did it, you know. But like I said, I like that how you said where, you know, he does, you know, this is how I do it. But, you know, it shows you how to get an idea. Because, I mean, sometimes just like artists, like music artists, they get a what's it called? Like a, you know, brain freeze, and they can't, you know, think about writing a song. And, you know, we get like, you know, photographers get the same thing, you know, oh, I'm bored at the house. You know, I want to take pictures, but I don't know what to do. So you scroll on Facebook or Instagram, check out one of his pages or even your page. And, you know, oh, you know what? I have that exact same fingering. Oh, he did it that way, you know. Oh, you know what? I bet if I do it this way, it'll be, you know, it'll come out cool just like yours or just like Sir Dort's.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the inspiration's everywhere in the toy community. It's awesome. And I know he even goes behind the scenes and like does YouTube too of how he's like specifically did this or that and goes into like depth and in a detail. So his stuff is cool. I definitely recommend anyone that's starting toy photography to check out his channel and his works, because he is his work's amazing. And he just, even as a content creator on, you know, doing toy photography and how to, like, he even has like a video I saw of how to use your phone. So yeah, he covers pretty much everything. It's cool. His work's, he's awesome.
Yes. So do you have any social media where if anybody that's listening that can go see more of your work?
Yeah, I do have, so besides the Instagram, I post on TikTok. I've been posting, more reels on Instagram recently, just cause I don't know. I think Instagram's really trying to push the reels recently. So I tried doing a couple of the reels, but I also have, an Etsy shop where I've been posting some of my works, digital files and also like, prints of like some of my photography and stuff like that. So
awesome. I'll get you to send those to me in a message so I can post it in the notes below, and so people can check it out. I'm actually looking at your Instagram right now, and I will say that all your work is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So there's not one, I mean, really, there's not one picture where it's like, I guess, dull or, you know, boring. I don't know. I'm not trying to be rude.
No, I get you.
But that's all pretty badass of what you can do and how imagination So, but I do appreciate you coming on the show and sharing how you got started and through your journey.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. It was super cool. I was like, I saw the post. I was like, oh, that's super cool. And then I went on Spotify and listened to some of your other podcasts because I was, obviously curious. And it's super cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I'm just trying to be like one of the fellow photographers and, if anybody is starting out, trying to help them, get started out, what they could do and, if they want to do like toy photography, wedding or landscape or just about anything, and they don't know where to start, just trying to give them a boost.
Yeah, no, I think that's the biggest thing is that we're all in this community. So it's always nice to just help inspire and create others. And, everyone just wants to have fun at the end of the day. Like toy photography lets me basically relive being a child and just playing with my toys still as an adult. It just gives me an excuse to do that.
And the wife can't get mad at you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's a hobby. So it's fun.
Now it's a hobby.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, sir.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the opportunity again.
No problem. Thank you.
Yep. You have a good one.
You too.